On a sunny day, cows graze in front of a two-story home.
This morning's farm report is brought to you by...
A title appears over the view, Horse Sense. Melted butter covers the bottom of a frying pan into which a pair of eggs are cracked. The pan sits on a gas range where other breakfast items are being prepared, including a skillet of vegetables, pancakes, and bacon. A hand uses tongs to flip the meat. Elsewhere in the house, black and white photos adorn a bedside table. One shows a man in a cowboy hat. In another, the man sits smiling with an adolescent boy.
Tommy!
Beside the table, the brown-haired boy from the photo sits on the bottom of a bunk bed and whittles a piece of wood.
Tommy! Breakfast is ready!
Okay, Mom!
A black and white dog lies beside him.
You gotta hustle, Tiger. Don't want to miss your plane.
What are you doing?
It's a whistle I made for Michael. He really liked the last one I made him at the reunion. Said it was cool.
That's sweet, honey. I know how hard you worked on it.
Tommy dons a cowboy hat and helps his mom carry bags downstairs.
I was thinking, maybe I shouldn't go.
Stop it already. You're just like your father. I'll be fine.
But there's so much to do. And what about the money?
You are too young to be worrying about things like this.
But you said we were partners, remember?
You never let me forget it. But I think I can manage for 4 days without you. It'll be tough, I know, but I can do it. Promise.
She holds up two fingers.
Tommy, it'll be fine. So please stop your worrying.
In a pickup truck, they depart from a ranch along a dirt road past the grazing cows.
Mom, what's it like in Beverly Hills?
Well, it's a little different than here.
Cup of tea, wake up.
A woman's mouth speaks from a video alarm clock.
Wake up. It's 12:15, wake up.
A young brown-haired man awakes in bed beside the alarm and grimaces. He reaches over to a nightstand and turns off the alarm. Across his bedroom, a fish swims in an enormous tank, and a rack of weights line a wall of colored glass tiles. Clad in silky red pajamas, he yawns and stretches his arms overhead. Meanwhile, in an opulent kitchen, a woman with short dark hair cringes as she feeds wheatgrass through a juicer. Dressed for the day, the young man enters the kitchen through a set of French doors.
Good morning, Arlie.
Good afternoon, Mr. Michael.
She adds the wheatgrass to a smoothie.
How can you drink this stuff? Let me make you some waffles and eggs, huh? Put some meat on your bones. You're so skinny.
9% body fat is not skinny. It's lean.
It's a stick.
A blonde in a business suit strides in.
Morning, Mom.
Hi, sweetie. Don't forget you have to pick up Tommy this afternoon, 4:30.
Wait, that's today? I can't. I have a date with Gina.
Gina?
Yeah, Gina. My new girlfriend, Gina. Her dad's the big movie director, Lethal Force, Tornado 2.
You know, I can't keep up with you. And honey, I've got a million things to do for this fundraiser in Palm Springs.
The way it's going, I'm hoping for a miracle that it comes together. Where is that guest list?
By the phone, Mrs. Woods.
Thank you, Harlene. That's right.
Mom, look, I just don't think that it's going
to
work out.
No buts. You told me no problemo, remember? You were excited to invite him here.
Well, you know, it's not that I'm not excited. It's just that, you know, with Gina now, my schedule's a little packed.
So unpack it a little. He's your cousin.
Mom, come on.
Honey.
She gently touches his arm.
He's coming here to see you. And you know the hard time he's had after losing his father. It's only for a few days, and I'm sure Gina will understand.
She pats Michael's cheek.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, Dad.
Home for lunch, huh?
Yeah, in between classes.
Yesterday's and today's?
Okay, class. Drew will pass back your exams. You know they count for 20% of your grade. If you had any
So my dad's wrapping his film soon. Says he has to meet this Michael I keep talking about.
Did you find out when you're going to go to the Riviera?
Oh, it depends when Daddy starts his next movie. But he said he'd call as soon as he finds out.
Oh, I hope you go the same time that I do. Can you imagine? I mean, you and me in Europe, the damage that we could do.
I think some of you thought you were already on summer break, when you should have been paying more attention to land trusts, property deeds, and mergers.
In a classroom, Michael sits with Gina, a blonde co-ed. A teaching assistant hands them their exams. They look at their grades and wince.
I got a D. You don't suppose that stands for delightful reading, do you?
I didn't think so.
Later, they stroll a campus.
Here.
What is that?
Well, it's not officially our two-week anniversary till tomorrow, but I can't stand it. I love presents.
What did you get me?
Well, open it.
Okay, all right.
He opens a gift box.
I don't believe it. I don't believe this!
Try it on, try it on.
Okay, all right, all right. Oh, man.
It's a watch. Michael hands Gina his old watch to hold while he puts on his new one.
Wow. I love it. Please don't tell me that that's the right time.
It better be.
I gotta go.
Go? What's up?
I was supposed to be at the airport 30 minutes ago to pick up my cousin. Listen, I love the watch. I'll call you later. Mwah. Bye.
Gina pouts. Outside an airport, Tommy waits with his bags. Michael pulls up in a red convertible.
Hey, cowboy!
Hi, Michael.
Sorry I'm late, man. L.A. traffic's a nightmare.
It's okay.
You ready to have some fun?
Yeah.
All right.
Michael opens the trunk.
Hop on in.
He stows Tommy's bags inside. The boy keeps a backpack with him as they get into the car and buckle their safety belts.
Let's rock and roll, buddy.
Tommy holds the whistle he made.
I am so glad you're finally here, Tommy. I cannot believe how much you've grown up, man.
Michael,
wait a minute, hold on. Hello?
Hi, it's me.
Hey, you. Listen, I'm sorry for having to run out on you so quick earlier. I want you to say hi to somebody, all right? Say hi to Tommy for me.
Hi, Tommy.
Hi.
Michael Mouth's girlfriend.
Michael, guess what? My dad just called, and who do you think is going to be in the south of France at the same time you are?
No way.
Way. I'm going to arrange it so we can fly over together.
Woo! Look out, Saint-Tropez, baby.
They stop at an intersection.
Hello? Gina? Gina? Ugh! I hate cell phones, man.
Michael?
Oh, wait, hold on. Hello?
Michael?
Yes?
Ugh. Going through a canyon. So I was just going to ask you, how are you going to get out of the European study tour?
I'm going to use it to get over there and play like it's a drag. My folks completely buy it.
Well, what about the school credits?
You're all the credit that I need.
You're so cute. So are we going to do anything for our anniversary?
Michael glances over at his cousin.
Yes, of course.
Oh, miss you.
I miss you. Bye.
Bye.
Hey, Michael,
listen, you don't mind if we stop at the jewelry store up here, do you? I gotta pick up an anniversary gift, you know?
All right, it's okay.
All right, buddy. I'm glad you're here, man.
Later, they drive past a gated entrance toward a palatial home.
Here we are. Home sweet home.
This is bigger than my school.
Well, these guys should sit up in one of the guest rooms, buddy.
Inside, they dine with Michael's mom.
Well, it's too bad Jules couldn't come out here with you, Tommy. I miss her.
She wanted to, but one of us needed to be there.
And I hear Disneyland is at the top of your list while you're here.
Hey.
Yeah, I can't wait.
Arlene sees Tommy cleaning up.
Oh, that's all right, sweetie. I'll get it.
Thank you.
Michael, why don't you take him tomorrow?
Saturday? No. Saturday would be way too crowded. We're going to go Monday. Monday would be much better. You know, the lines will be less. You can go on the rides as many times as you want. That'll be good, right?
If you think so.
Yeah.
Hey, Tommy.
Hi, Uncle Glenn.
Hey, how big have you gotten, huh?
Hey, buddy.
Hey, Dad.
Sorry I'm late. You ready?
Bags are at the front door.
Tommy, Michael has assured us that you're going to have a great time. Glad you're here.
And I'm just so sorry about the timing, Tommy. Glenn and I have to be in Palm Springs for this fundraiser we committed to ages ago.
Mom told me. It's okay.
Okay.
You guys have fun.
You too.
Later, the cousins tour the house.
So you must be fried from flying, huh, buddy?
Not really. Oh, look at this room.
It's cool, isn't it? And you know what? We have every movie that you could possibly dream of. My dad knows a couple of guys in the business. They hook us up.
No way. Candy? A popcorn machine?
You bet, buddy. Hey, check this out.
Michael turns on a huge television.
Whoa.
So what movie do you want to watch?
It doesn't matter. Whatever you want to watch.
Well, actually, I gotta go over to Gina's and give her that necklace that we got her. You know, women, right? They gotta have their jewels. It'll only take like 5 minutes. Unless you don't want me to go, and then I won't. I'll just call her and tell her that I can't. She'll be cool with that, because it's your first night here.
It's okay.
You know how to load a VCR?
We have VCRs in Montana.
Ha. I'll see you later then.
Michael ruffles Tommy's hair and leaves. The next morning, men in coveralls do yard work as Arlene serves Tommy a breakfast of eggs, potatoes, bacon, and toast.
There you go.
Thanks, Arlene. That looks great.
Oh, it's my pleasure, Tommy.
You know, one of these mornings I'll make you breakfast, Montana style.
I'd love that.
Think Michael will be in soon?
Hey. I heard my name. What's up, buddy? How did you sleep?
Great. How about you?
Great. Listen, I have to run out. I gotta do a few things.
Okay, I'll go with you.
What, are you kidding?
You're gonna have so much more fun here. Listen, I'll be back ASAP, okay? We got lots of time.
Okay, what are we gonna do when you get back? Can we go to Adventure World? My friend Mule went there and said it was a blast.
Yeah, sure.
Why about the beach? You know, I've never seen the ocean.
Whatever you want to do, okay? Ciao.
Michael sets down a smoothie and leaves. Glumly, Tommy returns to the kitchen table. Arlene stares after him sympathetically. Later, Tommy kicks a soccer ball around the well-manicured front yard by himself. He picks up the ball and bounces it off his head. Tennis balls litter a private tennis court where a machine lobs balls at Tommy, who hits them back with a racket. He swings at another ball and misses. That night, he watches a movie by himself in the TV room, then sits alone beside a swimming pool where he operates a remote-controlled toy boat. Gazing across the water at a pool house, he sees Michael inside talking on a phone call in his bedroom. The next morning, he tosses a lasso around the neck of a statue. Arlene grins and applauds. Later, Tommy serves her breakfast.
That's breakfast.
Outside, he tries to show her how to throw a lasso.
Oh, wait.
The rope tangles. Back inside, Arlene finds Tommy alone in the TV room, eating licorice next to stacks of movie cases. Later, as Arlene puts away a mug in the kitchen, Michael saunters in.
Hey, Arlene. I cannot believe that I slept so long. Where is my drink?
I've been busy.
Is something wrong?
Yes, Mr. Michael. What is the matter with you?
Why? What's up?
You have no idea, do you?
Of?
Tommy has not left this house the whole time he's been here.
I'm taking him to Disneyland next week.
Next week is now. He's leaving tomorrow.
No way. He just got here.
Yes way.
Tommy comes down a staircase and joins them.
Hey, buddy.
Tommy fetches a soda from a refrigerator.
How's it going?
Arlene hands the boy an empty glass.
Are you ready to go to Disneyland?
We're really gonna go. You won't bail?
Hey, I never kid about going to Disneyland. And you know what we're gonna do after that?
What?
We're gonna go to Knights of the Round Table. Oh, it's this great place where these guys, they dress up as knights and they sword fight and they joust and you get to pig out while you watch it. It's fantastic.
All right, when do you wanna go?
Arlene stares at Michael sternly.
Right now. What do you say, huh?
Great, come on.
Well, let's go. Come on, buddy.
Arlene gives him a nod of approval and Michael points his finger at her. Now he and Tommy leave the house in the convertible.
Can we go on Space Mountain first, then the Indiana Jones ride?
Today is your day, Tommy. If you want to go on those rides 100 times, I am right there with you.
Yeah, sweet.
Hey, I'm sorry that this week has gone by so fast. I'd really planned to do a lot more with you, honest.
It's okay. Chicks can mess with your head sometimes.
Michael grins and ruffles Tommy's hair.
Hello.
What are you doing?
I'm taking Tommy to Disneyland, remember?
Oh, yeah. Well, Daddy surprised me and got in this morning. He was wondering if you'd like to join us. It'd mean so much to me for you to finally meet him. Please, Michael. He has to leave again tonight.
Michael takes the call off of speaker.
I can't. I know, but listen, it's not that I don't want to. It's just, you know, no.
Tommy watches him hold the phone to his ear.
Okay. All right. But I can only stay, like, 2 minutes. Okay. Bye.
Michael looks over at his cousin, whose head hangs disappointedly. Michael pulls up in front of a business with a sign that reads, Kitty Zone.
Tommy, look, her dad wants to meet me, and he's leaving. I mean, what can I do? Don't worry about it, though. This place, man, this place is amazing. I used to come here as a kid all the time. It's a blast. And I promise you, I'll get back as soon as I can. We'll have it here.
Hey.
I promise.
As the woman at a checkout counter slides a registration form toward Michael, he hands his cousin a credit card. Tommy stares glumly at a group of adults supervising toddlers in a ball pit.
Yeah, I'm sure of a blast.
Later, jockeys race horses around a track alongside which Michael watches the race with Gina and a dark-haired man who wears an ascot beneath a button-up shirt. The trio cheers and sits beneath an umbrella at a table.
Come on. What's your secret, man?
It's a vibe thing, sir.
Oh.
and Lady Luck here.
Yes, she is. I like this one, Gina.
Daddy.
Michael glances at his watch.
You know what? I hate to say this, but I've got to get going.
Oh, no. Not before the next race, you know. No, I need you to pick my winner from it.
Please.
Yes, of course.
Good.
Later that sunny day, Michael races from the racetrack out to a busy parking lot. He gets into his car and fastens his seatbelt. Worrylines knit between his brows as he checks his wristwatch. He quickly backs out of his parking space. He smacks into a passing car, busting its headlight and carving a dent along its front passenger side. The other driver, a woman in her 50s, gets out of her car to inspect the damage.
I am so sorry. Are you okay?
Yes, but my car! You weren't even looking.
Michael nods.
It was a blind spot.
Your top is down.
She gestures toward his convertible.
You know, I'm kind of going through a little family emergency right now. I don't know where my head's at. I'm sorry.
Family emergency?
Yes. And every second counts. Look, here's all my information. My insurance, license number. Here, for you.
Poor thing. I hope everything's going to be all right.
Yeah, me too. Thank you.
He scribbles down his information, then rushes back to Kitty's room. Michael hurries past the front desk and into the play area. The activity center features a maze of climbing equipment and tube slides.
Tommy!
Michael continues past the ball pit through a large circular opening leading into the maze.
Tommy! Hey, Tom!
He hoists himself up through a narrow opening into a tunnel with portholes along its walls. Small children half his size scurry past.
Tom! Tommy!
On hands and knees, Michael continues through the maze of tunnels. A little girl squeezes past him.
Tom! Tommy!
As he continues onward, his view distorts. Woozily, he shuts his eyes and shakes his head.
Tommy!
From inside a windowed orb, he spots a boy below. As Michael tries to back out of the orb, he slips down a chute that deposits him onto the floor. Clambering to his feet, he spots the woman from the check-in counter.
Tommy Biggs, I dropped him off.
Michael?
Yeah, I am.
Michael winces.
Why? What happened?
Tommy called, and Arlene sung to pick him up. He was very worried something happened to you.
Thank you.
A short time later, he returns home.
Tommy! Where is he?
Watching TV. He had no idea where you went to. I tried your car phone.
Michael breezes through a foyer past Arlene and continues into the TV room.
Do you know what you put me through?
Don't give me that worry routine. All you care about is yourself.
Hey, I'm sorry. I have a very good excuse.
Of course, you always do. But save it, because I don't buy anything you say. Can't wait to go home tomorrow.
Michael gapes at his cousin.
I'm sorry.
Do you know how bad my mom needs me?
Hey, look, I said I was sorry, and I am, okay? I kept picking winning horses for Gina's dad, and then this old lady, she hit me.
You were at a horse track?
Yeah, well, that's where they usually race.
Great, blow me off to see animals abused.
Abused? That's a little dramatic, don't you think? I mean, they're just horses.
Hi, guys. You're back early. How was Disneyland?
Michael's parents join them. Tommy glares at his cousin.
Everything I expected. But I'm kind of tired, though, so I better get packed.
Okay. Well, poor thing doesn't seem himself. You really must have wiped him out.
Walking away, Tommy looks back, locking eyes with Michael.
Yeah.
The boy continues away.
So I saw the dent in the back of your car. What happened?
Hit and run. Can you believe that?
Shaking his head, Michael pats his dad on the arm and leaves the room. The next morning, Tommy trudges down a winding staircase with his bags. From a breast pocket of a plaid shirt he wears, he pulls out the whistle he made for Michael. His aunt smiles up at him from the foyer below.
Ready?
Yeah.
He stashes the whistle in his bag, then heads outside with his aunt.
Hey, guys. Where's Michael?
Oh, he had an early class. Tommy, make sure you have Jules call me when you get there, huh?
Thanks, Aunt JC.
She gives him a hug.
Oh, I hope you had a good time with Michael.
And let's just say, if he ever makes it out to the ranch, I'd like to return the favor.
Isn't that sweet?
Hey, we better hit the road, huh? Might be some traffic.
Flynn loads his nephew's bags into the trunk of a luxury sedan. JC opens the passenger door for Tommy, and he climbs into the car with his uncle. JC blows him a kiss. Later that night, Michael joins his parents in a dining room.
Hey, guys.
Arlene sets a plate of food in front of him.
Thank you.
She offers him a sympathetic smile and pats him on the back. Glenn studies his son for a moment, then turns his gaze to his wife. Seated across from her son, JC glares at Michael.
Something wrong?
Well, I got a very interesting call from my sister when Tommy got back.
Did he get back okay?
Suddenly you care.
It seems as if Tommy didn't get to do much of anything while he was here.
Okay. All right, I can explain that.
First, start by explaining why you dropped him off at a kiddie zone so he could go to the racetrack.
Oh, well, you see, Gina's dad was only in town for a couple hours, so I had to...
Gina? Michael, we talked about that.
He came here, Michael, to be with you. And from what we understand, you were either sleeping or not here.
I mean, I didn't do it on purpose, you know? Time just flew by. I mean, I had a lot of things to do.
Glenn rises from the table.
Excuse me.
Michael shrugs his palms. Outside the front door stand two police officers.
Evening, officers.
We're looking for Michael Glenn Woods. Does he live here?
Yes, he does. He's my son. Is there a problem?
Well, your son was involved in the car accident. He backed into a Deirdre White, apparently gave her some wrong information. She was smart enough to double-check his license number as he drove off.
Later, Michael sits in a living room.
I cannot tell you how disappointed your mother and I are in all this.
What has gotten into you? It's as if you dropped any sense of responsibility.
I'm sorry. I mean, you guys act like I purposely wrote down the wrong numbers. It wasn't intentional, Dad.
I'm not sure it wasn't.
That hurts.
Well, you lied to us, Michael. You told us it was a hit and run.
Technically, it was. I hit her, and then I had to run to go pick up Tommy.
No, don't go there. Don't start. Don't start with me, Michael. You're not talking your way out of this one. I gotta tell you something. Your European study toward the end of the summer is heavily in question, if not off entirely.
Dad, come on.
We have worked so hard to give you things that we never had. I mean, where have your mother and I gone so wrong in raising you?
You haven't. Look, this is really getting out of control here. Here's what I'm gonna do, okay? I'm gonna call Tommy. I'm gonna apologize profusely. I'm gonna take some money out of my trust. I'm gonna fix the Porsche. I'm gonna pay to fly Tommy back out here, treat him right. How does that sound?
Michael stands eye to eye with his father.
Mike, you think it's that easy, huh? Just talk your way out of it. Your trust fund isn't meant for that, Michael. You're 20 years old. It's time for you to grow up.
Dad, look, I appreciate
that. Sit down. I'm not finished.
They sit down.
I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to call your Aunt Jules, and I'm going to tell her that you're going to come out to the ranch, and you're going to give her a hand for free for the next month.
JC nods in agreement.
A month?
Maybe you'll learn a little something about hard work and responsibility.
Michael gapes at them.
Mom, I mean... Dad, come on.
I'm not finished. If I hear one, and I mean one, negative report from Jules or Tommy that you're slacking off or not doing exactly as you are asked, your trip is definitely off. Am I understood?
Softly, Michael nods his head. He slinks back resignedly against his chair.
Montana.
On a new day, a twin-engine plane lands at a small airport at the base of a mountain range. It taxis along the runway past an assortment of prop planes. With the plane now parked, Michael opens a side door and exits the aircraft. He's clad in a black and white ensemble of fancy boots, slacks adorned with a belt and buckle, a button-down shirt with silver collar tips, and a leather jacket. Sliding on a black cowboy hat, he strides around a wing of the plane to its nose, where an older man with shoulder-length black hair unloads luggage.
Thank you.
Michael waits to be handed his bags, but the man sets them down.
Okay.
As Michael collects his bags and steps away, a guy in a cowboy hat and denim shirt with the sleeves cut off bumps shoulders with him. The guy in denim looks back, eyeing Michael's fancy boots. Smiling sardonically, he tips his tawny wicker cowboy hat at Michael.
Michael? Hey, Aunt Jules!
Well, look at you! Thanks for coming, Michael. So nice you want to give us a hand.
I'm glad that I could help. Hey, buddy.
Tommy gazes up at him and forces a smile.
Nice boots.
Can't play cowboy without them, right?
Well, I hope you don't mind. We have to make a stop on the way home. We'll just throw your bags in the back of the truck.
Sure.
As Michael starts to follow his aunt, he glances behind him. Tommy smirks, looking Michael up and down. Michael smiles back uncomfortably. Later, Jules parks her truck along a small town street.
This shouldn't take long, guys.
No problem. Is there any place to grab a latte?
Sorry. You won't find any coffee houses around here.
Oh. How about a soda?
There's a diner across the street. Hey, I'll be back in a minute.
Tommy feeds a parking meter and watches his mom step away. Michael pats him on the back.
Want to catch a flick later? There are movie theaters here, right?
Two.
Whew. Through the window of a business, Tommy sees a snowy-haired businessman shake his mom's hand.
And that's the mountain weather. 1990!
Later, the boys sit in the truck holding takeaway drink containers. Michael adjusts the radio. With a file full of paperwork, Jules exits the bank. As she approaches the truck, she locks eyes with Tommy. Smiling sadly, she shakes her head. She climbs into the truck with the boys, and they return to the ranch.
This place is huge.
Yeah, we got about 500 head out here.
Jules steers past a pen of cattle and parks alongside a barn. Inside the barn works a man with long dark hair tied back in a ponytail. Hopping out of the truck, Michael grimaces.
Whew. What does that smell?
It's a cattle ranch. Don't worry, you'll get used to it.
Oof.
Michael, I'd like you to meet Mule.
Hey.
They shake hands.
Somebody, give you that name?
My great-grandfather. You little...
Michael? Thought it was a nickname or something.
How you doing? My name's Twister.
They're joined by a tall, unsmiling man with a bushy mustache.
I heard a lot about you.
He offers Michael a firm handshake, then examines the young man's palm.
You ain't work much, have you?
Twister's the backbone of the ranch here, and I don't know what we'd do without Mule.
There's some nice boots you're wearing.
Thank you. Thanks, they're Italian leather.
Italian, huh? Does that mean that cows moo with an accent?
No, that means they're high quality and expensive, but...
Yeah? Well, boots are boots to me.
Twister strides away from Michael and heads to the barn.
Well, Twister and I still have some work to do, but if you need anybody to show you the ropes, let us know.
Thanks, but I think I can handle it.
As Mule joins Twister in the barn, Michael turns to follow Tommy toward the house.
It's okay, Max. He's not gonna bite you.
Tommy's dog growls at Michael.
Hey, Michael, you'll be bunking with Tommy.
Great.
Come on, Michael, hurry up.
Michael quickly sidesteps the dog and grabs his things from the back of the truck. Michael hurries after Tommy to the house. Inside, he follows Tommy to his room.
You get the bottom bunk, and there's some room in the closet for your stuff.
Thanks.
I'm gonna go help Mom with dinner.
Michael sets down his bags at the foot of the bunk bed and looks around the room. He examines the bunks, then spots the framed photos on Tommy's bedside table. Next to the photos of Tommy and his dad is one of Michael and Tommy at their reunion. Michael picks it up and smiles. He returns the picture to the bedside table, then tries to sit on the bottom bunk, but the frame of the upper bunk blocks his head and shoulders from leaning back. He sits there awkwardly for a moment. Later, he strolls outside on a phone call.
You should see this place. Talk about Boersville, USA. I don't see how anybody would actually want to live here.
Oh, it sounds horrible. Can I get a sparkling water, please? So, what about Aspen? Please tell me you're gonna come.
There's no way that I can go to Aspen now. I just got here.
Gina shops for clothes.
But it'd be so much fun. We're going out in a company jet and staying at Kevin Costner's.
I told you, if I don't do exactly what they say and obey the rules, there won't be any French Riviera.
Ugh, well, you better be a good boy then. I can't imagine Europe without you.
I will. You have a good time, okay? Say hi to your dad for me.
I will. Love you.
Yeah, me too. All right, bye-bye.
He ends his call near a treehouse.
Boo!
Overhead, he sees Tommy.
How long have you been standing there?
Just a second. I wanted to show you how to work the satellite dish. You know, if you want to watch some TV later. It's inside.
The boy climbs down.
Come on, let's go.
Tommy races away from the treehouse, which sits partially assembled. Michael hesitantly follows.
TV's in there.
Tommy points to a cabinet.
Well, check that out. Oh, my mom would go nuts for that. She loves antiques.
Belonged to my dad's family. Came out on his great-grandfather's covered wagon. My mom and dad's wedding present.
Inside the cabinet is a TV.
Satellite picks up about 1 million channels. Press here to turn it on. Well, you get it. Pretty simple.
You want to watch something?
No, I'm going to go to bed.
What? It's still light out.
I know, but I'm tired. I had a long day. But feel free to stay up as late as you like.
Oh, gee, thanks.
Good night, Michael.
Michael chuckles to himself.
Ciao.
Ciao.
He makes a quizzical face as Tommy heads upstairs.
We've received so many applications for charters to the clubs, we haven't been able to take care of them. I hate to have that many...
Later, the house sits under a night sky. A light flips on in an upstairs window. Tommy plays a triangle, waking Michael on the bottom bunk.
What?
Rise and shine. Breakfast is on the table.
Michael eyes a bedside clock.
It's 4:30 in the morning. I just went to bed at, like, a couple hours ago.
Aw, maybe you should have gotten to bed a little bit earlier then. Come on, we have a lot of work ahead of us.
You know what? I gotta get a couple more hours sleep, okay? Because I am worthless unless I get some sleep.
He settles back into bed. Tommy gleefully plays his instrument again. Michael grabs the triangle.
I'm not kidding.
I've got two words. French Riviera.
You did hear.
310-555-0197.
You memorized my phone number?
Would you like to hear Uncle Glenn's office number? Get dressed.
Michael drops back to his pillow, defeated.
I can't believe being blackmailed by an 11-year-old.
Downstairs, Jules sets a bowl of bacon on the table where Tommy sits with Twister and Mule. Michael lumbers to a seat at the head of the table.
Morning.
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 Kid. Sit here.
Twister pulls out a seat beside him.
I'll get a plate for you, Michael.
No, thanks. I'm not really that hungry.
Oh, you really should eat something. Can't work on an empty stomach.
Jules serves him a plate.
I have never seen eggs that color before.
That's the color they're supposed to be if the chickens haven't been eating anything phony.
I took them out of the coop this morning.
Well, you've just really been busy this morning, haven't you?
The cousins feign smiles.
You wouldn't happen to have any turkey bacon, would you?
Bacon comes from a pig, son, not turkeys.
but if it's something you like, maybe I could find it for you?
No, that's... It's fine. I'll just stay with the coffee until I wake up from this dream I'm having.
I went over to the bluff, and I saw that three-color paint again.
A three-color paint? It's pretty rare.
She's beautiful, Mom. I hope they let her join.
Yeah, me too. Well, Joe, that was delicious. Never met your match in the kitchen. Mule, you gonna go work with me? You gonna sit here and eat all day?
Mule follows Twister from the table.
Thank you, Jules. Mm.
So, Tommy, are you going to take Michael with you today?
No, I don't think he should spend his whole first day in the back of a horse. Unless you want him.
No, you're right. I think I'm just going to stay here and get acclimated.
All right, then I'll get you started doing something around here then, if you don't mind.
No, it's fine. That's why I'm here.
Come on.
Outside, the sun has risen. Mule and Twister saddle a pair of horses, while Tommy and Max lead Michael around the barn past a bull in a pen.
What's with him?
Goliath? Just plain mean. He tried to gore Mule once when he fell into his pen.
Beyond Goliath's pen sits a huge mound of manure.
Wow. That is the biggest pile of manure I have ever seen.
Doesn't take long to get there, either. We sell to a company that comes by and hauls it off. It's got to be moved right over there in front of Goliath's pen.
Michael swats at a fly swarming his neck.
Might as well get started.
Well, me? Move this? you, You have to be joking.
Hey, you're the one who wanted to hang around here. What did you say to get acclimated? Whatever that means. I guess if you don't want to, we could just...
No, I don't want to. But how do you propose that I move this heap anyway?
I don't know. Up to you. You're the one that goes to college. Come on, Max. Come on.
Tommy and Max go join Mule and Twister. Swatting more flies, Michael finds a wheelbarrow leaned against the manure pile. Holding his breath, he grabs it by its handle and flips the wheelbarrow over. Beyond the wheelbarrow, a pair of gloves rest atop a shovel sticking out of the manure. Riding toward a mountain with Mule and Twister, Tommy tugs his horse's reins and looks back at his cousin. A dimple punctuates a wide grin on the boy's face as he watches Michael shovel manure. Satisfied, he follows after the ranch hands. In a dressy black and white western-themed button-down shirt, Michael wheels a load of manure to the opposite end of Goliath's cage and dumps it on the ground. He continues with the work, scooping another load into the wheelbarrow. As his work progresses, Michael's changed out of his dress shirt and into a white t-shirt.
Come on.
Michael struggles to push the wheelbarrow through some mud alongside Goliath's pen. The bull lowers his head, scrapes the ground with a front leg, and charges. Goliath smacks his horns against the pen next to Michael. Sweat glistens off Michael's toned arms as he shovels another load. He dumps the manure onto the new pile he's made, which sits alongside the dirt driveway through the property. Michael preps another load, but as he attempts to offload it, he loses his footing and falls face first into the pile of manure and mud. As he picks himself up, Mule, Twister, and Tommy return on their horses.
What's so funny?
Should've used the tractor and saved those pretty boots of yours.
Tractor?
Right behind you, other side of the barn.
I thought you would've seen it. I mean, it is right there.
Michael wheels around and stomps back to the far end of the barn past Goliath.
Come on.
He waves an arm at the bull, then rounds the back of the barn, where beyond a stack of hay bales, he finds a tractor. Seething, he smacks the hay. Later, he takes a steaming shower inside the house. Vigorously, he scrubs. Outside, an evening sun paints the sky reddish-orange.
What are we gonna do, Mom?
Tommy, Jules, and Max sit on the front porch steps.
Well, your Uncle Hank wants us to live with him for a little while. Just until we get our feet back on the ground.
Can't the bank just wait a little bit longer?
Honey, we owe Mr. Hawthorne's bank a lot of money that we don't have. And we won't have this year, no matter how good things are. He'll be coming by to help price things for the auction.
When is it?
4 weeks.
Jules glances back into the house, then softly rubs her son's back.
Let's just keep this between us, okay?
Okay.
Well, I certainly feel a little better.
You should. You're washing up for more than an hour.
Michael smiles contritely.
What's, going on? What are you guys looking at?
God's painting again.
He sits beside his aunt.
What? Oh. Sunset. Yeah, it's nice.
Well, I gotta hit the sack.
I'm sure I'll be seeing you bright and early, huh?
Yep. Gonna watch some TV tonight?
No, not tonight, thanks.
Good night, Mom.
Good night, honey.
Tommy hugs his mom.
I love you.
Me too. Come on.
Max gets up to follow, but looks at Michael.
Hey, come on, Max.
The dog trots after Tommy.
Sure is quiet.
A little different than Los Angeles, huh?
Yeah, a little bit.
A small yawn escapes his lips and Michael gazes across the yard.
What are the squirrels renovating over there or something?
Oh, the treehouse? It's a project that Tommy and his dad started before he got sick.
Sorry about Uncle John.
Yeah, me too.
Tears well in Jules's eyes.
This ranch was his life. It was our life.
John and Tommy cut all that wood together and stacked it there. Tommy does a little bit here and there, but he never seems to find time to get it done. We thought that one day would...
She looks back at Michael, who's fallen asleep with his head resting against his hand. Sullenly, Jules gazes back at the treehouse. The next morning, Michael follows Tommy and Max to the barn.
What's happening today?
We gotta do some branding.
Can I help?
Feeling acclimated yet?
Very.
Well, pick this up.
What?
Carry it.
Michael grabs a saddle.
All right, fine.
All right, we're gonna see the cattle through and spend the night out. My neighbor says he saw some wolf tracks.
Wolves?
Yeah, but it's no big deal. If we spot them, we'll call the Forest Services and they'll catch them for relocation.
Tommy collects another saddle.
Are you sure he can ride?
Please. Don't you remember the reunion?
Those were donkeys in the Grand Canyon.
Ah, same difference.
Tommy drops his saddle and a blanket beside a horse pen. Michael slings the other saddle over the fence.
See that bay over there? She's mine. My dad and I found her when she was less than a year old. She was almost dead.
Oh, come on, you found her?
Seriously, we did. There's a herd of wild horses that roam on our property on the other side of the bluff. She had injured leg and couldn't keep up.
Well, if she was wild, why didn't you just let her go again?
Tried, but she kept coming back.
So which one of these lucky gals gets me, huh?
I'm gonna put you on Slingshot.
Which one's that?
Tommy points out a slender brown mare.
That? Oh, come on! She looks sick! She's got like 1 foot in the glue factory. I could go faster on a carousel.
Hey, she's a good horse, not the fastest.
No. I am not riding that one. No. I want to ride that one.
Michael eyes a tall, dark horse.
Sure, if that's one you want.
Yeah, what's her name?
Sometimes we just call him Black.
Tommy steps away.
Wow, that's original.
Now Tommy saddles up Black.
Kind of pull the strap through here and tie it real tight down here.
Okay, all right, I got it. I saw Young Guns.
Okay, all set. Now, he can be a little temperamental to begin with. You might want to get it on and I can lead you around so we can get used to you.
Lead me around? What, a little pony show for Twister and Mule?
No, I don't think so.
Fine. Have it your way.
Michael's just barely taller than the horse's back. Tommy holds the reins as Michael struggles to get his boot in the stirrup and mount the horse. Finally, he pulls himself up and swings a leg over Black's back.
How are your stirrup lengths? Your knees should be slightly bent.
They're fine. Just hand me those.
I call the reins.
Duh, I know. All right, how do I look?
Just like Clint Eastwood.
See? You know, I'm really missing a great photo op here. All right, giddy up, Black.
Oh, there's one thing I should tell you.
Hey, I said, come on, giddy up, Black.
He gives a small kick and the horse takes off.
He doesn't like to be kicked.
Gaping, Tommy watches his cousin struggle to hang on as the horse bucks and runs circles outside the barn. Black runs toward Goliath's fence, sending Michael toppling forward over the horse and into the bull's pen. Tommy and Max dash over to him.
Michael! You may want to get up very slowly. Very slowly.
Michael looks behind him and sees Goliath preparing to charge. As the bull barrels toward him, Michael hops up and climbs the fence. Goliath pins one of Michael's feet between his head and the fence, but Michael breaks free.
Are you okay?
Yeah.
I thought you said you could ride.
I can, all right? I can.
Should have rolled Slingshot.
Let me ask you something. Is there anything else that you call this horse when you're not calling him Black?
Lightning.
Sporting a guilty, playful grin, Tommy takes off his hat to wipe his brow and heads to his horse. Michael fumes. On horseback, Mule Twister, Tommy, Jules, and Michael now herd dozens of cattle past sandy-colored hills into a pasture. Mule sees a pair of cows stray off course and rides after them. The long-haired man and his horse block their path, routing the cows back to the herd. Atop a white horse, Jules watches her son and his dog corral the cattle. Twister rides a spotted horse and waves a coiled lasso above his head. Chasing after a pack of cows, Michael wobbles atop Slingshot and tugs her reins. The others casually walk their horses. Tommy sees Michael running alongside Slingshot, trying to get back up onto him. The boy chuckles. Branding irons heat in a metal drum within a cattle pen into which the cows are herded. A ranch hand lassos one of the animals. A small brown and white cow bucks against the rope. Another man picks up the cow and sets it down onto its side. Jules grabs the branding iron, and as the men hold the animal down, she presses the iron into its hind quarter. The ranch hands free the cow with the lasso and let it up. Next, Tommy launches a lasso at a small calf. The rope lands expertly around the animal's neck. Michael tries to grab the lassoed calf, but it bucks away from him. Tommy watches, exasperated.
Come on.
Grinning, Twister shakes his head. Finally, Michael wrests hold of the calf and pins it down. Michael smiles and Tommy rolls his eyes. A branding iron is pressed into the calf's fur. The brand features a backward capital letter B connected to an R. That evening, Jules stirs a pot that hangs over a fire.
Something smells good.
Supper's ready when you are.
Hi, Mom.
Hey, big guy.
The cousins dismount their horses.
I'll tell you, Slingshot, you're one heck of a ride, man.
Sore yet?
I know you're just dying for me to say so, aren't you? Okay. I am a little sore. How's that? You know, it's amazing what all day in the saddle will do to one's butt.
Michael, let me do that.
All right.
Tommy takes Slingshot's reins, and Michael crawls under a rope to which the other horses are hitched. He hobbles toward the fire.
Michael, where are you going?
I'm gonna go call my chiropractor. See if I can get an adjustment over the phone.
Michael.
Tommy jogs over and places a hand on his arm.
Slingshot has to be unsaddled and brushed first.
Of course.
Forcing a smile, Michael limps past a truck back toward the horses.
Not so fast there, Hopalong.
Twister strides up to him.
This is Jerky. This is a flashlight. You've got first watch for wolves. I figure if I put you out there early enough, maybe you won't go to sleep.
He hands Michael the items.
Now listen to me. Don't make any abrupt noises out there. The cattle spook real easy at night. If you see a wolf, you come and get us. Otherwise, just enjoy yourself. Should be beautiful out there. One of us will come get you in a few hours. And this Jerky, it ain't turkey either.
Firmly, he pats Michael's back and heads toward the fire. Michael lifts the Jerky toward his face and sniffs. His jaw opens as he dry heaves. Later, he keeps watch over the herd.
Man, the horse and bull episode isn't even half of it. My legs are so sore, I can't even move. My hands have blisters. My boots are ruined.
Oh, not the ones from Gucci. Ugh. Sounds so horrible what you're going through.
Yeah, well, there's more. I'm likely going to become some wild wolf's dinner tonight. I'm freezing. And to top the whole thing off, I have an 11-year-old prison warden who's trying to break me.
Oh, you poor thing. Well, this might cheer you up. Dad's rented this incredible villa in Saint-Jean-Cap-Ferrat, right on the Mediterranean. Warm, sunny, white beaches. Me in my bikini.
God, that sounds so good. Man, I can't wait to get out of here.
Only 28 more days.
I am so sorry for venting. I just don't know how much more of this I can take, you know?
Parents can be so cruel. What's your little work camp supposed to teach you, anyway?
I can find, though.
Overhead, stars shine in a violet sky.
Wow!
What?
I think I just saw a shooting star. That was incredible. Man, you don't see many of those in L.A., huh? You should really see the sky over here, Gina. It is beautiful. There are so many stars.
Michael, please, don't get all dances with wolves on me. I'd rather be talking about our trip than some dumb star. Oh, hold on, someone's beeping it.
Seated on horseback, he gazes up at the view.
Okay, I'm back. Hello? Are you there?
Well, yeah. Sorry.
You know, I'd like to know what you're more interested in out there in the middle of nowhere than listening to me.
Nothing. I just thought I saw something else, that's all.
All right, well, I gotta get going. That was Rachel. She's in the driveway. We're going to the Dragonfly Club, if you even care. Michael, are you there?
What? What?
You know, I've only been yelling at you for like 10 minutes. Why don't you just call me when you have some time, okay?
He dials numbers on his phone.
Gina!
Slingshot rears onto his hind legs and Michael falls off. He crawls over to his phone.
Gina, hello? Gina?
I'm sorry, I didn't mean it. I think I just miss you so much. Do you still love me? Michael? Michael?
The herd charges.
Michael!
Hi!
Running away, he hangs up.
911, state your emergency, please.
The stampede! The stampede!
Where is the stampede, sir?
Right behind me!
Next to a tree, he trips and falls. He jumps up, grabs a tree limb, and pulls himself up to safety just as the herd passes by below. The last of the herd clears from beneath him. Michael lowers himself down from the tree just as Jules, Tommy, Twister, and Mule arrive. Tommy finds Michael's phone on the ground. It's mangled.
It rang.
Tommy hands the phone to Twister. Hands on his hips, Tommy glares at his cousin. Twister throws the phone to the ground. The group turns away from Michael and strides back toward their campsite. Dried strands of hay cling to Michael's phone as he picks it up. The next day, Michael and Tommy return to the ranch.
Twister said he'd give you a hand fixing the fences after he rounded up the last of the strays. You know, we're lucky they didn't stampede through all the fences.
Yeah, well, you should have heard what I had to deal with on the phone with Gina, explaining to her why I hung up on her. I cannot believe they stampeded because of a little phone ringing. You know, it's your neighbor's fault, though. They should have told us that they found the wolf. We wouldn't have been out there in the first place.
Load the poles into the truck. Keys are in the ignition if you want to move it closer.
I think I can handle it.
Suit yourself.
Tommy rides away, leaving Michael outside a shack next to a stack of long wooden poles and a weather-beaten vintage pickup truck. Michael dismounts Slingshot and gets to work, sliding a pole off the stack. He carries it past a rusty old piece of farm equipment and slides it into the bed of the truck. Tall amber weeds grow alongside the vehicle. Later, he drops the pole onto the pile. He's now finished moving to the back of the truck. He pats the pole exhaustedly.
What are you doing?
Mule rides up on his horse.
Tommy said to load the poles into the truck, so I loaded the poles into the truck. You got a problem with that?
Nope. Just wondering why you're loading poles into a truck that doesn't work. That old thing hasn't run in about 15 years. Come on, let me show you something.
He follows Mule around to the other side of the shack.
I think you meant this one.
Mule points out another truck. It's also faded, but decades newer. Michael sighs and lowers his head. Later, he drives the truck down a dirt road. Up ahead, Tommy heard several cows past a broken fence. Michael storms toward him.
You knew that I would load those poles into the wrong truck.
You didn't load them in the one that was parked in front of the barn, did you? That hasn't worked in years.
So I've heard. You know, I am sick of you doing this.
Doing what? I told you to get the keys if you wanted to move it closer. Why would I mean that truck? It's parked right next to the pile.
Payback is over, little cousin. We are even. No, as a matter of fact, we are way past even. And you know what? You can go ahead and call my dad if you want. I don't really care. I've had enough of this, and enough for you to last me a lifetime. So just stay out of my way. You got it?
He stomps back toward the truck.
Can't believe I used to wish you were my brother. There's nothing about you I like or respect. You've changed so much.
Are you talking about being all buddy-buddy at the reunion? Because think about it, Einstein. You and I were the only two people there under 30. I was so bored I had nothing better to do than hang out with a little snot-nosed seven-year-old like you. That's how bored I was. Now leave me alone.
I will. Just go ahead and serve your sentence for lying about your car and acting like I didn't exist. I'll stay out of your way, but you stay out of mine. You understand?
Michael puts the truck in reverse and backs down the road. Tommy rides away the other direction. Later, Twister trots his horse over to Michael, who's asleep on the hood of the truck next to another broken section of the fence.
What are you doing?
Oh, I'm waiting for you.
Fixing a fence ain't that hard to figure out, son. You replace the broken posts with the new ones.
Michael looks around.
All of them. That's gonna take, like, weeks.
Then I suggest you get started. You're everything Tommy said you were. I wouldn't have believed it if I hadn't seen it with my own eyes.
Look, I didn't really ask to be a part of all this cowboy stuff. I guess I'm just a city boy who really doesn't fit in.
No, you're not a city boy. You just don't give a darn. They're about to lose their ranch. You couldn't care less.
What do you mean, lose their ranch?
You have no idea.
No.
That figures.
Why didn't they tell me?
I'm not sure they think you'd care. I bet you never been challenged by anything in your whole life, have you? Got your cell phone, your fancy boots, your folks buying you anything you ever wanted. I got a 4-year-old nephew who works harder than you do. Everything you need's in that truck. You understand me?
Twister rides off after a trio of cattle. Meanwhile, the man from the bank and two others look around inside Jules and Tommy's house.
All right, Mrs. Biggs.
He eyes the TV cabinet.
What about this piece?
Tommy watches from the stairs.
It goes. Mom. It goes.
Angrily, the boy looks away.
And the opening bid?
She shakes her head, unsure.
All right, Mrs. Biggs. We'll be taking off. Thank you for your time.
Jules taps her knuckles to her mouth. Mr. Hawthorne and his team leave, passing Michael as he returns to the house.
Who are they?
Oh, just some people that stopped by.
Tommy glares at him through the post of the stairway, then grabs his hat and heads upstairs. That night, Max lies on the floor beside the bunk beds in Tommy's room. Michael pulls back his covers and crawls out from the bunk below his sleeping cousin. Seated on the edge of the bed, he eyes the photos on the nightstand. He picks up the photo of his Uncle John and stares at it. He raises his thoughtful gaze to the door, then sets the photo down and leaves the room. Later outside, he leads Black Lightning out from the barn.
What do you say you and I get to know each other a little better, huh? Hey, I promise you, no more kicking, all right?
The noise outside wakes Tommy, who peers over the edge of his bed to the bottom bunk. Finding it empty, he hops out of bed and looks out his bedroom window. He sees Michael riding Black Lightning outside the barn. The horse remains calm as he rides. Michael softly pats its neck. Tommy steps away from the window. The next day, Michael uses a tool to cinch a length of barbed wire between two wooden posts along a newly repaired section of fence. Finished, he drops his tool on the ground and examines his work. In a tank top and cowboy hat, his skin glints with sweat. A proud smile adorns his face. In the distance, a tree sits amidst a vista of rolling hills. He sees Tommy ride his horse up alongside the tree. Tommy hops off his horse and sits on a bench made of winding tree branches with a wagon wheel as a backrest.
Aunt Jules probably has supper ready. Wow.
Michael takes in the view from the bench. Amber sunlight shines down on grazing wild horses.
They let the three-color paint join. I knew they would.
They see a spotted white and brown horse with a white mane and black tail.
I said some cruel things to you that weren't true. At the reunion, I had a great time with you. Mind if I take a seat?
Tommy moves over, making room for Michael, who joins him on the bench.
It's pretty comfy.
My dad and I made it.
I bet you really miss him.
Mrs. Laugh. He was always laughing. But if I sit here long enough, I can feel him. Yeah, we used to come up here every day after chores. Just watch. He and I named them all.
Oh, come on, everyone?
Yep.
All right. What's that brown one there?
That's Ranger.
How about the white one?
Cheyenne, his second girlfriend.
His second?
Yep.
What about the dark brown one over there?
That's Chester. He's the oldest.
And what about that little one with all the energy?
Tommy boy. My dad named him.
All right, what about,
That's Sophie, Gunther, Spots, Penelope, Gertrude, Max, Trotter, Sadie, Cinnamon, Walter, Lola, and that one over there, that other sorrel? Her name's Jules. His first girlfriend, the queen.
Of course. You know, no wonder you don't like the racetrack. They're so free here. Just like they were hundreds of years ago, I bet.
My dad used to say that wild horses bring us good luck. Guess he was wrong.
How come you and Aunt Jules didn't tell me you guys were losing the ranch?
What do you care?
I care.
Look, we owe a lot of money we can't pay.
Why don't you just borrow the money?
It's the problem. We did. We can't pay it back. Guess it all started when my dad was alive. Then it got worse after he got sick. A bunch of bad stuff happened. Doctor bills, cattle prices kept falling. Just couldn't get out of the hole after that. Just kept barring it against the ranch.
Why not sell a portion of the ranch and use that to pay off the debt?
No one to buy it. Everyone around here is going through the same thing.
So what are you going to do?
We're going to have an auction at the end of the month. Sell the herd and what we can. Move into one of my uncle's old trailers.
That's next week.
What does it matter to you? You're leaving the day after tomorrow to go on your vacation with Gina.
Tommy gets up and walks away. Now Michael races on Black Lightning across a golden brown field. That night back in L.A., Glenn answers a call from a couch in the TV room.
Hello.
Hey, Dad.
Michael. Everything all right?
Yeah.
Michael sits at a desk.
No. I'm okay, but Jules and Tommy aren't.
Oh, no. What happened?
Oh, no. It's nothing like that. I mean, they haven't been in an accident or anything. It's just, they all out of money, Dad, and they're going to lose their ranch.
I know.
You know? And you haven't done anything?
Michael, it's not that easy. I offered. They don't want my help.
Why?
Because your aunt and your cousin are very proud people. They believe that benefits come from their own hands. Michael, when your mother first told me that they were in trouble, I called. But how do you give something to someone who won't take it?
That is so stupid. They'd rather lose the ranch than take the money.
I even offered to make her a loan so that she could pay it back. But she didn't want to take that either. I think she was afraid of not being able to.
I just don't get it. I mean, they work so hard to keep this place going, and they're just going to throw it all away. It would be so easy.
Yes, it would be easy, Michael. But everything isn't always a quick fix.
Yeah, well, I'm not giving up that easy. They need this place, and I'm going to find a way for them to keep it.
The next day, he follows Twister into the barn.
See, you start the pyramid, right? Which puts you on the top. And the people on the bottom have to each pay $1,500 to get in on it. Now, when your pyramid fills up, you make $12,000. And the guy that was below you, when he moves up to the top and his pyramid fills up, he makes $12,000. So I figure that if you, me, Mule, Jules, and Tommy all start one, that's like $70,000. And then, you know, we get a lot more people to join in on it.
These people that give you the money, what happens to them?
Twister hands him a feed bag.
Well, when they reach the top, they make $12,000, just like you.
What if they don't reach the top?
then they lose. I mean, you know, there are certain risks.
Sounds like gambling to me.
He tosses him another.
Now you're catching on.
You ain't gonna find any gamblers around here, son. People work too hard to maybe lose their money. Besides, it don't sound exactly legal.
Yeah, but it's a chance for them to keep the ranch. So, are you in on it or what? I mean, look, all we have to do is just get two people to join in on it. And then those two people gotta get two people. It's like a piece of cake.
Look, it's a good thing you're trying to help Jules and Tommy. But you're milking the wrong cow trying to do it this way. I mean, if I had 1,500 bucks, I wouldn't need no pyramid. I'd just give it to them. And so would a lot of other folks around here. But even at that, there ain't no way she'd ever take the money.
What is with all this pride?
This ranch, it's a beautiful place. Lord knows I broke enough sweat working it. But there comes a point when it just don't make any sense to keep going. I mean, it's like digging a hole in the ground so deep you can't get back out of it again. She owes a lot of money, Michael. And it ain't her fault. That's just the way the times fall. It happens to a lot of ranchers. A lot of farmers, too. I figure that's why there ain't so many of them left anymore.
A thoughtful gaze washes over Michael as Twister steps away. Later, Jules finds Michael hauling a bale of hay from the barn.
Hey, Michael, you sure you don't want to come? Uncle Hank cooks up a mean barbecue.
No, it's fine, really. I'm just gonna hang here. Might even go for another ride later.
All right, well, there's some leftovers in the fridge. Have you seen Tommy?
He's working away.
They glance over at the treehouse where Tommy's hard at work. Heartbroken, Jules shakes her head.
He's trying so hard to finish that before we leave.
Tommy, we gotta go, honey! Hey, Mom!
Tommy sets down a hammer, hurries down the treehouse ladder, and buttons his shirt as he runs to the truck with Max at his side. Michael opens the passenger door for him.
Come on.
The boy and his dog climb into the truck with Jules.
We shouldn't be too long.
Don't worry about it. Have fun. Bye.
Bye.
As they drive away, Michael looks back at the unfinished treehouse. Steeling himself, he heads up the ladder and into the wooden structure. Michael takes a look around, then picks up a plank of wood. Later, one wall of the treehouse is now almost fully assembled. Michael positions another plank of wood, then hammers more wood into place. Then, over the edge of a platform surrounding the treehouse, he cuts a board with a handsaw. Gradually, he completes the other walls and a railing that extends around the platform and up a few steps to a porch. From his perch, he sees Jules' truck return to the ranch. Smiling, he holsters the hammer on his waist and climbs down from the treehouse. Tommy whips off his seatbelt and hops out of the truck. Tommy climbs up the ladder.
I was just trying to help you with it, buddy.
He tries to knock down the railing, first with a hammer, then by kicking it. He breaks the railing. He pries a board off a wall. Overwhelmed, he sinks to the floor with tears in his eyes.
My dad's in mine!
I'm sorry.
Michael walks away and holds his head, leaving Jules staring helplessly at her son. Inside the house, Michael makes a phone call.
Gina, it's like they got no choice. They've tried everything that they can. You know, it's just not right. I mean, I'm headed off to Europe and they have to leave their home.
Ah, the thought of a trailer sounds so gross.
That's not the point. The point is they're family and there's nothing that I can do.
Can we talk about something slightly less depressing?
Like?
There's this incredible old city by the villa called Ez. Daddy says it's got this wall built all around it and one of the best 5-star restaurants in the whole area. Oh, you are not going to believe this. My dad bought a racehorse.
Why?
I don't know. He likes them, maybe. Anyway, I need to get going. I'm supposed to meet Rachel. She's going out with Leonardo DiCaprio. I mean, personally, I think he's so 5 minutes ago, but... Look, I'll call you when I get back.
No, I'm already going to be in bed. I'm going to wake up early and go for a ride and have a lot of work to do before I have to leave here tomorrow.
Early? Work? Those are swear words in your vocabulary.
No, really. You know, it's not that bad. I mean, I'm doing and learning things that I never thought that I could do before. I'm working with my hands.
Oh, and there's this horse here, Black Lightning. You know, I'm getting pretty good at riding him now.
Yeah, whatever, sweetie. I got a jam. Look, Rachel's beeping in. You know how she doesn't like to wait. But I'll see you tomorrow.
Preening in a vanity, Gina ends the call.
I'll see you.
Seated in Tommy's bedroom, he hangs up the phone, then gazes into a mirror at his reflection and shakes his head. The next day, under a clear, bright sky, Michael pulls a tarp over a pyramid of hay bales. He wheels around to see behind him the band of wild horses run past.
Cinnamon. Sadie. Major. Gunther. Spots. Walter. Jules.
Michael, where's Twister?
Tommy rides toward him.
He's going to get some wood, buddy. What's up?
It's Tommy, boy. He's going to die.
Die?
Come on.
Michael hops onto the back of Tommy's horse, and they hurry away. Elsewhere, Tommy Boy lies on the ground, stuck in a bog of thick mud.
There! I tried the last one, but I couldn't get close enough, but he kept freaking. I crawl in there and tie him up, but what if I got stuck? We'd both be in trouble. We just gotta get him out of there, Michael. Wild horses stress really easy. They could die from it.
Okay, all right. But I'm gonna go out there.
No, let me. I'm lighter.
All right, just be careful, okay?
I will.
Be careful!
Tommy falls into muddy water.
Don't worry. It's not gonna hurt me.
Michael clings to the end of a lasso hooped over Tommy's shoulder.
Give me some slack. Come on.
Michael feeds him more rope as he continues on hands and knees toward the horse.
Okay, boy. Boy, easy, boy. Careful. You're not gonna hurt me, are you? No. You're not gonna hurt me. We're gonna help, right? Yeah, you know that.
Tommy steps closer with the lasso.
Easy now, boy. It's gonna be okay. Whoa. It's okay. Just get this around your neck and we'll get you out of here. It's okay, boy. Whoa. Easy.
He slides the lasso on.
Whoa!
Tommy Boy rears, knocking down his namesake. Michael falls, clinging to the rope. Michael hurries to his feet and ties the rope to Tommy's horse.
Don't worry. Just stay still a little bit longer. We'll get you out of here. Oh, boy. Easy, boy. It's okay, boy. Oh, boy. It's okay, boy.
Tommy gently touches the horse's neck.
Easy, boy. Easy. It's okay. It's okay. Oh, son. Get through this. Come on. Easy. Stay calm just a little bit longer. We'll have you out of here.
Michael watches their interaction.
Whoa, boy. Easy, son. Easy, boy. It's okay. I'm not gonna hurt you. We're here to help. Easy. It's okay. Whoa, boy. Okay? Stay calm just a little longer. We'll have you out of here.
Tommy crawls back through the mud.
Hold him steady. I'm coming. Just make sure he doesn't get hurt. Give me a hand, will you?
Michael helps him out of the mud.
Thanks. All right, give me a leg up.
One, three. He boosts him onto Lucky's saddle.
Thanks. All right, I gotta go easy because the tag's too much. I'm gonna have to let him go.
You're the boss.
You ready?
Yeah.
All right, let's go.
Tommy steers Lucky back, pulling the line taut.
Come on.
Oh. I am.
Go.
Michael tugs on the rope, helping to finally free Tommy Boy of the mud.
Okay, Michael. Just pull him over closer.
Michael guides the horse closer.
Talk to him. Talk to him. Understand him. Cool. All right. Take the rope off his neck.
He removes the rope.
Good. Now get out of there. Come on.
You go, boy.
Now free, Tommy Boy gallops away. Michael grins.
Thank you.
No sweat.
Later, the cousins return to the ranch wearing huge smiles on their faces. On the front porch, Jules paces. She checks a watch on her wrist. She spots the boys as they approach.
Tommy! Michael, look at you!
She hurries over to her muddy son and nephew.
Do you know what time it is? You have about 5 minutes. You better take a shower. You're going to miss your flight. Go!
Michael dashes into the house.
What happened to you?
Later in fresh clothes, Michael hurries outside with his bags.
I cannot believe it's gone by so fast.
You got real good at riding black.
Yeah. Look, Tommy, I am so sorry about not taking you to Disneyland, man. I cannot believe that I was such a jerk.
It's okay.
No. It's not okay. You know what? I promise you, next time, we are there, all right? If you let me take you.
I like that.
Okay. I'd give you a hug right now, but...
It's okay.
All right, buddy. I'll see you.
Have fun in Europe.
I will.
And you, young man, get in the shower. I will be back as soon as I can.
Bye, Mom.
Bye.
Take a shower.
Bye, Michael.
Jules and Michael drive away down a winding dirt road through a pasture.
What's he doing?
What?
Michael looks behind them to see Tommy racing after them on his horse. Jules slows the truck to a stop and Tommy rides up alongside them. In his hand, he holds the whistle he made for Michael.
I want to give you this.
Michael removes a pair of sunglasses and examines the whistle.
This can't be the same one from the reunion.
No, I made a new one.
Jules shares a broad smile with her nephew and son.
Thanks, man. I'll see you.
Bye.
Bye.
Michael puts on his sunglasses. As they drive away, Tommy continues to ride after them. Wearing a huge grin, he waves goodbye. Michael waves back. In slow motion, a view transitions from Tommy riding Lucky to horses being raced by jockeys around a track. Along with Gina, her father, and other excited fans, Michael watches the race, but unlike the others, his expression is graven. Removing his sunglasses, he observes a jockey whip their horse with a riding crop. Flashbacks of the wild horses in Montana intercut with the race happening before him. Gina gives Michael a hug, then hurries to the track with her father. Hesitantly, Michael follows. With an outstretched hand, Gina's father approaches a horse and its jockey.
Hey, easy money, eh? No. Good job. Well done. Come on, pictures, eh? Come on, there we go. There we are. There we go.
As Gina and her dad pose with the riding team, the horse rears, the jockey falls off. Michael rushes in and grabs the horse's reins.
Whoa. Calm down. Whoa.
Michael, stay away from it. It could hurt you.
Michael! Michael, please, let somebody professional deal with this.
It's okay. He's not going to hurt me. I think something hurt him.
Whoa, boy.
It's okay. It's all right. No one's going to hurt you. You just be a good boy, okay? Okay?
He gently strokes the horse. Gina eyes her dad with shock. Later at Michael's house, Arlene greets a chauffeur at the door.
Mr. Michael? Gina and her father are here.
Thanks, Arlene.
Michael sits on a couch in the foyer.
You okay?
Beside him is his luggage.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm just thinking, that's all.
Well... have a great time.
Thanks, Arlie.
He rises from the couch.
Thanks for everything.
He surprises her with an affectionate kiss on the cheek. Arlene watches him head to the door. In slow motion, a view follows Michael outside. Sunlight shines down on his despondent face as he carries his bags toward a limousine that waits in the driveway. Seeing Michael headed his way, the chauffeur reaches out to take his bags from him, but Michael keeps walking past him and continues to carry his own bags. Gina climbs out from the back seat, spreads her arms wide, and brandishes a wide smile at Michael. He musters a smile back.
Here we go.
Here, let me get that for you, sir.
No, it's okay. I'm going to hold on to him. Thanks.
No, don't be silly. Give them to him. It's what he's paid for.
I'm not going.
What?
I realize there's something a lot more important that I have to do, Gina.
Gina gapes at him.
Tony, line one. Tony, line one.
Later, a salesman approaches Michael outside a car dealership. The man gives Michael a check in exchange for a set of keys, and they shake hands. Patting a side mirror of his car, Michael leaves his convertible with the salesman and hops into a taxi.
Michael, I have to advise you. There are penalties for liquidating some of these assets in your trust fund. Are you sure you want to do this?
Seated across from a man at a desk, Michael nods.
Yes. I'm sure.
The man sets a document in front of Michael and hands him a pen. Michael signs his name to the document and smiles. In Montana, Jules packs up pictures, one showing her with her husband, John. She stares at it for a moment and smiles sadly, then wraps it in paper. Behind her, Tommy enters the living room.
This is your back, Mom.
Oh, thanks, honey.
She places the wrapped frame into a moving box. Tommy scratches her back and they share a smile.
It's going to be okay, Tommy. We'll make it.
She squeezes his shoulder.
I know, Mom, it's okay.
They give one another a hug. Jules kisses his head and pats him on the back, then returns to packing. She sets another photo into the box and carries it to a table. Michael appears at the door behind her.
It's time to unpack.
Michael? What are you doing here?
He hands her a folded piece of paper and she opens it up.
This is your money, isn't it?
No. It's yours.
This is unbelievably generous of you. But I can't take this.
I'm not giving it to you. It's an investment. I want to see this place work.
Well, it's a bad investment, Michael. Believe me. It's why I wouldn't borrow money from your dad. I have tried so many ways to make this place work, but the signs are right here in front of me. It's time to move on.
Please.
She places the check back into his hand.
You're giving. Comes from the right place. Don't lose it.
She folds him with an embrace. As she pulls away, she wipes an eye and offers him a smile.
So that's it then, huh? It's over.
We're going to be fine. Trust me.
She pats his arm and steps away. On a new day, a small crowd peruses the family's furniture, which now sits in the yard outside the house. A sign reads, "Auction today." A man in a cowboy hat and jacket grabs a microphone and climbs up into the bed of a truck.
Testing, testing, 1, 2, 3. Can everybody hear me back there?
Jules and Mule carry boxes to her truck.
Testing, testing. Welcome. You got a great day for an auction today. A lot of nice items, so make sure you take the time to look everything over. We're gonna get everybody signed up. Sharon Raycraft is back there.
Twister angrily dumps a saddle into another truck.
Get you all fixed up with your auction number.
Michael helps Tommy bring out a trunk.
What the heck is in this thing?
Bunch of my old school stuff. My mom sees everything I've done. The trunk should get us some money, though. Sit on this table.
Okay. Let me just check this out here.
Michael opens up the trunk.
Hey, look at this. A plus. It's not bad. Nice class laptop. I got a D.
Subject.
Oh, it was so boring. It was real estate development. Had to do with land trusts and property deeds, mergers, things like that.
A thoughtful look washes over Michael and he hurries away.
Michael, what's up?
I gotta check something out, man.
Yeah, I got it.
He calls Glenn.
A D, Michael.
Yeah, I know. I could have done better, all right? I will next time. We have to hurry.
Michael sits at a desk. Men haul it away.
All right, now look, turn to the fifth or sixth page.
Okay. Glenn flips through Michael's exam.
It's only 4 pages long.
Really?
Okay. Let's go.
A man takes the chair where Michael sits.
All right, well, just turn to the part about land trusts. You have to read it to me, all right? Whatever it is I said.
Who are you talking to?
Not sure, but I think it's our son.
JC sits down with Glenn on the couch.
All right. Bidding is going to start in about an hour from now, folks, so you still have time to...
Michael hurries across the yard to Jules' truck. Other cars block it in.
Sir, can you move that car, please? I got a back light.
Let's go.
Truck out.
More vehicles arrive, further blocking the truck.
Miss, can you please go? I need my truck.
Just a minute, sir.
Excuse me. I got to check out the tack.
He frantically looks around. Scanning the yard, he spots Black Lightning grazing in a pen and hurries over to him. As Jules carries more things outside, Michael races past her on horseback. She walks over to Twister.
Where's Michael going?
Twister shakes his head as Michael disappears down the driveway. He rides the horse into town and steers him into an open parking space. He quickly hops off Black Lightning, hitches him to a parking meter, and feeds a coin into the machine. Now inside the bank, he meets with Mr. Hawthorne.
One of the things my father has taught me is there are no quick fixes in life. And I have learned that it is hard work and dedication in what you believe in that makes a difference. Now, I've never seen anybody work harder than my aunt and cousin.
Young man, I couldn't agree with you more.
Sir, I understand. You have every right to foreclose on their property. I mean, I'm from Beverly Hills. I understand all about money. Yes. But isn't the bottom line in any business to make a profit or at least not lose money, right?
Yes, but when you
look,
run
I've done some research. And your bank, by no fault of your own, has been forced to foreclose on 18 ranch properties in the last 3 years. And guess what? They're all still for sale. Obviously reflecting the times. Now, you're losing money every day those properties don't sell. Aren't I right?
Well, yes, if you look at it like that, I guess
my
we are.
My aunt's ranch meets all the criteria for a land trust.
Land trust?
You both would have a better bottom line. You just got to give it a chance. How about making a difference in somebody's life, huh? A positive one. What do you say?
I'll give it some thought.
Under right here now, 3 1/4. 3 1/4, 325, 25, 25, 25, where? 300 going once. Going twice? Sold it, $300, number 102.
Ooh.
All right, now this next item up for bid is a very special piece. It's a 200-year-old armoire that made it all the way out here on a covered wagon. And today it could make it all the way into your living room. We're going to start the bidding at $500.
I can't stand.
Right here.
Mom, what about Michael?
Ask Mule to wait for him and then take him over to Uncle Hank's, okay?
Wait, Mom, look!
Michael and Black Lightning return to the ranch. He hops off the horse and climbs up onto the truck with the auctioneer.
Can I have your mic just for 1 second, please?
We're in the middle of a sale.
I just need it for 1 minute, okay? Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, this auction is now over. There'll be no more items sold here today. All the items that you guys already bought, your money's going to be returned, okay? I'm sorry. You guys can all go home now. Thank you.
Jules approaches the truck with Tommy.
Michael, I don't know what you think you're doing, but this auction has to continue. I told you, we don't have a choice.
Yes, you do have a choice. This is a 30-day extension for Mr. Hawthorne. Your dad was right, Tommy. Those wild horses, they are lucky.
Michael.
It's called a land trust. I learned about it when I was in school. Well, sort of. See, your land supports a herd of wild horses, animals that should be allowed to live in their natural habitat. The land trust ensures them a home forever. That's what it's there for, protection of wild animals and their habitats.
But what about the money that we owe?
Well, it's not 100% for sure, but if your land is accepted by the trust, which it should be because it meets all the requirements, then your debt is covered by it.
stay?
Yes. Now, you won't own the land anymore, but they will pay you to stay on and manage it.
I don't know what to say. Thank you.
Yeah.
She gives him a hug.
Thank you.
Sure. I actually have, I have one favor to ask of you, though.
Anything.
I was wondering if I could, stay here for a little while longer and, see this trust through.
You can stay as long as you like. Thanks.
Michael crouches down to embrace his cousin. They high-five. Michael looks over at Mule and Twister, who smile. Twister tips his hat to him. Michael and Tommy stand near a small garden and watch as the auction goers drive away.
Can I ask you something?
Shoot. Anything.
You feel like working on a treehouse?
Are you sure?
Yes. Really sure.
Come on.
I'll race you.
I'll race you.
Together they jog toward the treehouse with Max at their heels. Up on the platform around the treehouse, Michael carries a door to the entrance as Tommy repairs the railing. Sharing a smile, Tommy hands his cousin a nail. Michael pats him on the back and they finish the last of their work on the treehouse. Fade to black. Description by Deluxe, voiced by Marcia Bartonelli.